Okay, this coming Erev Shabbos, we are going to get ready to usher in the month of Elul, and on Shabbos, we will celebrate Rosh Chodesh as we go ahead and read Parshas Re'eh. And of course, Parshas Re'eh begins with the understanding, Re'eh, behold and see, Anochi Nosein Lefnechem, my own bracha klala. I'm bringing you a bracha on the one hand and a klala curse on the other. Now, the first word in the Parsha opens our eyes, and Reb Chaim Kohn, the Chalban, Zecher Tzadik Lebracha, that great Israeli Kabbalist, explains that sights, paired with the idea of listening, as mentioned in last week's parasha, Ekev Tishmeun, are two critical elements in the service of Hashem, in Avodas Hashem. The question is, which one is greater? Is it the Shemia of Parashas Ekev, or is it the Re'iyah of Parshas Re'eh? So the Chalban explains that in regard to cognitive matters, the power of sight dominates. However, says the Chalban, in terms of Chovos Halavavos, issues of the heart, it's the power of listening that leaves a bigger impact. So in terms of Jewish practice, he says, the power of sight is more connected to the study of Torah, because it gives you a better picture of the landscape when you are involved in the power of sight. What do you see? I see, says the person doing the learning. But when it comes to the tefillah process, when a person converses with HaKadosh Baruch Hu, we say, Shema Koleinu Hashem Elokeinu, hear us. We don't say to the HaKadosh Baruch Hu Re'eh as much as we say Shema. Tefillah requires a connection that goes from heart to heart. So the ability to listen at that moment in time is more powerful. Later in the parasha, we're told, when it comes to a desire to go ahead and seek out a situation to connect to HaKadosh Baruch Hu, so we are told, Kiyam el ha-makom asher yifchar Hashem l'shaken shemo sham, to the place that Hashem will select. And the question has to be raised, why doesn't Hashem mention the place of the Beis HaMikdash expressly? Just tell us, there'll be a place called Yerushalayim, and that'll be the place where we're going to connect with HaKadosh Baruch Hu. So the great Rav Aaron Lopiansky Shalita, who wrote a fascinating series of Chumashim called Yisodei HaTorah, so he cites the Rambam in Mor Nevuchim, who explains that there are multiple reasons why Hashem doesn't mention the place expressly. First of all, says the Rambam, when the nations of the world see how central the place is to us, they're going to argue about the fact that they want to possess it. It's not ours, it's theirs. And so therefore they'll fight with us over the situation. Secondly, says the Rambam, when we're in Galus, whoever has the control over the area is going to try to destroy it. Think about how much the people above him said, "Aru, aru, ad hayisodba." We will cart it away until we get to the depth of it, until we get to the bedrock. And thirdly, when we control the land, Hashem didn't want fights over the land due to ownership challenges. Hashem didn't want us fighting over the Makom HaMikdash. It's amazing how prophetic the words of the Rambam are, even ad hayom hazeh. The understanding of what the nations of the world want when they see that we want Yerushalayim and we want the Makom HaMikdash, and the nature of how they try to destroy it and continuously try to destroy it, and also how much we fight over Makom HaMikdash. We ourselves internally have ongoing disagreements as to what Yofi Loch Yerushalayim is all about, whether Toavot Arayot or right or a necessity or who owns Yerushalayim, and whether Yerushalayim is for sale. It's incredible. The issues still remain today. Anyway, we are told that we have a responsibility after we hear about the Navi Sheker and the Mises and the Irani Dachas, individuals who try to get us, and sometimes are successful at getting whole cities to move away from the word of Hashem. HaKadosh Baruch Hu reminds us, Asher Anochi Mitzav Chayom La'asos Hayashar Be'enei Hashem. HaKadosh Baruch Hu tells us, he commands us to do that, which is Yashar Be'enei Hashem Elokecha. So the great Sukkas David, Rav David Kfiyat Zatzal, explains that the sections of the Torah of the Navi Sheker, of the Mesis, the one who tries to get us to be Oved Avodah Zarah and sway us away, and the Irani Dachas, the majority of the city being Oved Avodah Zarah, are tests to follow Hashem and not a powerful and persuasive leader. A person needs to first guarantee that leader's words are consistent with Torah of Hashem. That when a leader says something, that word is something that HaKadosh Baruch Hu agrees with. How often does it happen that we find charismatic leaders who claim to be Jewish in orientation, But this has tripped up how many times in Jewish history? Great people have fallen prey to charismatic leaders whose goal in life is to get us to move away from Hashem. Rav David explains, that's what we need to be sure of when we turn around and we recognize Lasos Hayashar, that our job is to do that which is consistent with Torah Hashem, and to realize that if not, a leader is leading us away and we need to move away from him. We're also told in the parasha about all the rules of kashrus, and in the rules of kashrus we're told, Lo sevashel gedi b'chalev imo, we have a responsibility not to cook a kid in its mother's milk. And Ramban comments that uniquely, this food is not disgusting. Rather, consuming it diminishes one's kedusha. And how is one supposed to understand that diminishing this will diminish one's kedusha? So the Ramban explains that it's through the mida of achzarias, the mida of brazenness and boldness that causes a person who shows a lack of rachmanis in the process. And how is that so? The Torah's description is not of eating milk and meat together. The Torah's description of the Isra Basar V'Chalav is Levashel Gedi B'Chalev Imo. The Torah is introducing the understanding that there's a distance here, that there's a sense of Kedusha over here. And what is this idea of the distance by saying so that you won't come to the situation of cooking a kid in its own mother's milk? We create this whole geder of Basar V'Chalav. Why and how does this relate to the concept of Kedusha? So Binyamin Eisenberger, Shalita, says, no, you don't understand. Kedusha is achieved by detaching from one's own interest and being ready to sacrifice for the well-being of others. And when we say, Lo sevashel gedi b'chalev imo, we are detaching ourselves to a certain degree. We're holding ourselves back from a personal desire not to eat any milk cooked, any meat cooked in milk, lest, you know, we get to the Ikar issue over here, which is the idea of Achzarios contained within the idea of Lo Sevashel Gedi B'Chalev Imo. Rabbi Yamin added that this is not to say this is the reason behind the mitzvah, but it gives us an understanding of some of the benefits that come along with the chok that is behind the mitzvah. What are some of the midos we pick up at the same time? And one of the midos we pick up is the aspect of Kedusha as an antidote to Achzarios. And while we're in that concept, the Torah also highlights our need to not turn backs on people. V'avatata goyim rabim v'atalo sabot. You'll lend to other nations, you won't need to borrow. You rule over them, they not over you. So how come you would think that the two things would come together? That you need to know if you have a need to borrow, if you're also a lender. How can you be led if you're the one who's being the leader? So the Chasam Sofer explains that these apparent opposites are indeed possible at the same time. For when a person is so tied down to his possessions that he or she can never miss a day of business, then the person may financially be able to be a lender, but it's really subsisting like a person who's a borrower. And similarly, without time for avodas Hashem in a world that you're tied to the nations of the world, so even if you're on top of them intellectually and financially, you are still being led by them. You may be Moshe Begoyim Rabim. You may be the heads of the government and the heads of the environment and all that other stuff. But at the same time, you are being led by those nations as well. Torah also tells us, Pasoach Tiftach Es Yadcha L'Achicha L'Aniyacha. You have to open your hand to your brother, to the Ani inside of you. And Rav Yitzchak Sarim, one of the greats of the Syrian Torah community, explained that there's a hint in these words. The first letters of the word Es Yad Chalo, your hand to him, Aleph, a Yud, and Lamed make up the word Ayal, which teaches us that when a person opens up his hand to the poor, it's as if he offered an Ayal as a korban and something for somebody to think about. Finally, towards the end of the parsha, we're told Lo Yera Es Pnei Hashem Reikam, that when it comes to the Yamim Tovim, the Shalosh Regalim, a person's not supposed to appear empty-handed. And Rashi explains that we need to bring Olos and Chatos instead. And in Sefer HaMitzvahs, the Rambam notes that this mitzvah is only active when there's a Beis HaMikdash. But then the Rambam says, at that point in time, the mitzvah's Re'iyah is that you can bring a Chagiga and an Olas Re'iyah. What about the Chatas? He doesn't mention why specifically Chagiga and Re'iyah. So Reb Meshulam David Salav Eichik Shlita, Reb David Ol explains that even if there were a basis to allow the bringing of Karbanos without a Beis HaMikdash, these two Karbanos can't be brought since their bringing is predicated on having a bias. Even if all other Karbanos would be Mutter, these would not be so. And this is what the Torah is trying to highlight to us over here, the intrinsic connection of visiting HaKadosh Baruch Hu in the Makom HaMikdash and not coming empty-handed. Finally, in the Haftorah, since this week is Rosh Chodesh, where we read that famous pasuk in Yishayahu, "Va'yami de Chodesh bechadsho," it'll be on each Rosh Chodesh, "Yavo kol basar l'shtachavos lefanai," everyone will come to bow in front of me. And while the Navi speaks about this experience in the future, it's strange. The rules of the Torah are not supposed to change, and here the Navi is promising that in the future everyone will be older regal on Rosh Chodesh. That's not the case. So how are we to understand the difference? So Mari V'Rabbi, Rav Shechter Shalita, would often note to us that the mitzvah of greeting one's Rebbe on Yom Tov, Chadechi of Lehakpo Pnei Rabo Beregel, is connected to the idea of being Ola Regel. So it would follow, he used a quote from the Noda Behuda, that if one would not be able to visit one's Rebbe, one's not obligated, if one would not be able to go ahead and be Ola Regel to visit HaKadosh Baruch Hu, you would not be obligated to go visit one's Rebbe. Yet, the source the mitzvah of the Kabbal Pnei Rabo, says the Gemara Roshana, comes from the Isha Shunamis. And we learned that there was an obligation to be Ola Regal on the Regalim, but it was a Rishus, it was an opportunity on Rosh Chodesh. And so what the Navi is telling us is that in the light of the fact that we are distressed about losing all of the obligatory opportunities when there's no Beis HaMikdash, to be Ola Regal and appear before Hashem, in the future, B'nai Yisrael will grab the opportunities, the rishuyos, even on Rosh Chodesh, to go ahead and visit HaKadosh Baruch Hu, in order to, so to speak, make up for the lost chances. And that's what the pasuk is highlighting over here. V'haya midei chodesh b'chadsho midei shabbos b'shabbato yavo kol basar l'shtachavos l'fanai amar Hashem. May we get that opportunity swiftly in our lifetime, quickly in our days. May we experience the Yom Shekulo Shabbos Umnucha L'chai Olamim, the Chodesh Tov Umforach, and of course, a Ksiva V'chasima Tova, a Shana Tovo Mesuka to all.